And so, just like today's episode, the format is a throwback to another episode of What Are We Even Doing? Let's get this bad boy started. Bring it!
Fucking hell, I just burned myself with the J. I saw your finger on the trigger there, and I was like, oh shit, we're not ready for this.
Yes. Guys, it's just us this time around. Going back to the days of yore, the first formative few 3-4 years of the podcast.
Yeah. Was it that long?
We started this shit in 2020.
Well, I know that we're 6 years into this, which is crazy.
It really is.
Well, not quite, because it'll be November. Anyway.
We're closer to six than we are away from it.
Yeah. But I felt like...
Oh.
Potential spam. We're not answering that.
No, I don't know that guy.
Wow.
Thank you.
Anyway,
folks.
I don't remember what I was saying. Oh, yeah, I feel like...
Is that
it was...
right? Are we good here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know. Now I'm always, like, gonna check. Whenever I see those waveforms, I'm like, is that big? Is that good? Is this anything?
Give me a second. Here's my test.
Yep.
Here's my test.
Yep.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
Because I saw your waveforms were fine. Yeah, I'm good. We're good.
Sweet.
Sorry. We have the microphone set to bidirectional for the first time in a long time. It's usually set to omnidirectional as to capture the whole thing.
Our revolving cast of anywhere from 2 to 8 people on the show,
yeah,
depending on. You know what was a really good one, though, that we had a bunch of people on? When we did the fantasy dream card booking thing, that was a real keeper.
Yeah. That was a good one. Anyway.
What do you got for the undercard there, my guy?
I do have a couple things for the undercard. Not necessarily things that I have watched, I don't think, but I noted them. Oh, my God. There was this tweet from a man called Moose.
It's a man called Moose!
It is mind-blowing.
Okay.
I didn't even have to bookmark it because I had it still pulled up. I opened Twitter to go find it. Well, anyway. He writes, "They said I wouldn't last long in wrestling. Equals 13 years in parentheses 10 in TNA.
Okay.
They said I wouldn't be world champion. Ellipses and then 2 periods. He did not do 2 full ellipses.
Okay.
3-time TNA world champion.
All right.
They said I would never work for WWE. Been there several times.
Okay, that's funny.
That's where I was like, all right. Wait a minute.
But you know what I really wanted that to be?
Hmm.
I wanted that to be... They said I wouldn't make it in pro wrestling. 13 years, 10 with TNA. They said I'd never be a world champion. 3-time TNA world champion.
Hmm.
They said I'd never work for WWE. 3-time TNA world champion.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. All right, he continues with... I know... You know, you're going to know what he's trying to say.
However,
it's just one of those things where the way it is phrased specifically makes it
and there's several blow times.
Up in his face.
Yeah.
He says, "They said TNA's been dying since 2012. We still killing it." Holy shit.
Yeah.
You can't make up how perfectly bad that is. And then he finishes off with what they say doesn't matter.
It's straight up the fucking the Heath Ledger Joker. Very poor choice of words. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
they said TNA been dying since 2012. We still killing it!
As of this morning, at the time of recording, the big wrestling news that I saw today was this further TNA exodus of talent. And how they're possibly bringing in Road Dogg to head creative. And I was watching this video, I was listening to this bit of news, and I had this just clear thought of, man, I turned heel on TNA at just the right time, because this is fucking absurd.
Yeah. I think the booking team definitely needs... the one, the three live crew or something, whatever, is that what it is?
That's one, yes.
The three. We're going to come back to Road Dogg on this episode.
Oh, boy, howdy.
Today, because I have, we'll get there. I don't know why I'm jumping the gun. That's all I have for my undercard that's specifically noted. I feel like I've watched some things, but I don't. I haven't.
I've got a couple. Did we talk about Disclosure Day last week?
No.
Okay. I saw it. I had a good time in the theater. The more I thought about it, the less I cared for it. Mm. I've had a couple of really good discussions with multiple friends that have seen it. And now I'm kind of like, I need more people to see it just to see.
I need to see it.
What am I not, you know what I mean? Like, sell me on it. But better, in my opinion. I saw The Furious. Mm. I made a Tuesday night trip to the theater. And man, I got to tell you, it was really nice. I know, like, Tuesday nights are like cheap movie day or whatever. I don't care. It was really nice to be in a theater full of people for a non-horror movie. Mm. And there were people there, and they were actually like, it's an action movie. That's a kung fu movie. So there's stuff where when it happens, you're allowed to pop. It was just really great to be in a theater for something like that again.
Yeah.
Because there was several, like, just those, oh my God moments. Like, it's a violent, violent movie. And at times it, to me, just seemed like Tekken. Where I'm like, oh, these people are just not going to die.
Yeah.
You're just beating the shit out of them.
I love it.
Really, really fucking fun. Like, I knew kind of what it was based on the one trailer that I'd seen. I was like, okay, it's a fight movie. I didn't realize how much of a fight movie it is.
Mm.
But it's still like, there's a story. The performances are good. Like, I straight up have no complaints about it.
I love that.
Like, good, damn good time in the theater.
We can make movies again.
We can.
Obsession keeps fucking smashing it.
Unbelievable. I was talking about it literally earlier today with Maltrie. It made, because I saw this on We Hate Movies, Obsession made more money this past weekend than it did in its opening weekend.
Jesus.
It's been out for like almost 2 months.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're not going to take it out of theaters. Like,
don't.
If.
And I'm upset because I want to watch it again. I don't really want to go to the theater again. I might have to, though.
Yeah.
I love that. But I want to watch it again because I had less than a... I had the exact opposite of what happened with you with Disclosure Day.
Okay.
Happened with me with Obsession.
Okay.
I was like, it's the typical horror movie stuff with a unique idea and a unique coat of paint.
Yeah.
And then, like... had good discussion. It grew on me before I had good discussions about it, but that the good discussions helped.
Because
I was like, a couple days later, I was like, no, that kind of did, well, that was kind of better. And then plus that jump scare. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's an ace in the hole.
Yeah. For it's one a that horror I just, movie. I want to revisit that one.
Yeah. That's going to be like, as soon as it's available, that's a purchase for your boy Tom.
It felt like, you know why that jump scare worked for me? I think it's because in my memory, it happens in the middle of where I feel the tension is building.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my fuck, and it actually got me because it was earlier than I was anticipating.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Very, very good timing.
It's much better than the 824. We're going to go to silence as long as we possibly can because you're trained to know that there's a jump scare happening. So we have to wait even longer this time so it actually gets you.
You know what I was contemplating going to see possibly tonight, but I don't think I'm going to be able to make it because you said 824. You seen this trailer for this Death of Robin Hood with Hugh Jackman?
No.
Maybe. This is such a weird concept. So it's a, I guess, gritty, dark telling of the Robin Hood legend starring Hugh Jackman as Robin Hood. It looks kind of awesome, like, visually. And it's an A24, like, medieval action movie. None of these things make sense to me. But, like, I'm kind of into it.
Yeah.
And I don't care about Robin Hood. Like, to me, Robin Hood is the Disney cartoon. It's a fox. Like, yeah. That's the best interpretation of this story I've ever seen, even now. Like,
yeah.
They did a Robin Hood movie like 4 or 5 years ago with Jamie Foxx. And what's that kid's name? Edgerton?
Huh?
Edgerton? The guy from...
Edgerton? No.
No.
I think I'm just blended like...
A couple.
Three people together.
Yeah. That was a... Get out of the machine. Look at this hell. No, the guy that... He was in The Kingsman.
Yeah, I know who you're... I need to look up his name, because I know his name. Who you're talking about.
I feel like it says egg in there somewhere.
I'm going to look up the Kingsman cast, because we know that that's where you're
Kingsman
at.
Cast, Eggman, starring...
Taron Egerton. I mean, I would say Egerton. It could be Egerton.
Okay.
It's just EG. There's EG? No D.
I'm going to call that a win for me because of the phonetic egg.
It's Welsh. I think it's J. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, shit!
I have no basis in knowing whether or not it's J over it being Welsh.
It's goddamn Welshies.
If anything, that might make it G. How do you pronounce... I'm looking it up.
Hey. Hey, Alexa. That's one of my favorite...
Oh my god, you're right. It's Egerton.
Yes! I can spot an egg from a mile away.
Egerton.
Let's get that a little slower.
Egerton.
I love that you can do that. Anyway, yeah. You were right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't even remember why that was brought up.
Robin Hood.
Yeah.
A24. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where we're at. Let's get into this main event.
Yeah.
Because I've got some pretty big thoughts. I want to set that
here's,
down somewhere.
Here's my thoughts.
Yes.
I've been very vocal about how much I hate AI slop.
Yeah.
I also hate AE slop. That's not an AEW jab.
Sure.
That's an Attitude Era jab.
Okay.
Anyway.
Here's the thing, guys. I've tried to defend my beloved Attitude Era due mostly to nostalgia. And some people would accuse me of peddling slopaganda.
Ooh, okay. That's a new I like that.
Thank you. There's some stuff on this show that I actually do think is sincerely good. There is a lot that I don't care for, but more importantly than that, there's a lot of absolutely nothing because we don't know where the fuck we're going.
Yeah.
So there was so much of watching this where I was like putting myself in the mindset of like, where was I at this time? What show are we building to? Then I remembered we're building to Mania 2000, one of the worst ever. And then I was like, oh, some of the lack of direction here makes a bit more sense because they didn't have a fucking clue. Guys, it's Raw from January 24th, 2000! The we're fallout!
Here. We're here, just me and you, covering an old Raw. We're back.
We're back, baby. And we're following up a classic episode for the Rumble 2000.
That's one of my
all-time favorite pay-per-views. The biggest event of the millennium, which means this is the follow-up to the biggest event of the millennium. Does it deliver? Not really.
Yeah, I think it's honestly, more notably, the first event of the downward spiral.
Mm.
I think is...
So, this is... Oh, also, this is from the First Union Center in Philadelphia. I could not find the attendance, but the place is packed. And the crowd is hot.
It's about the only thing the Attitude Era got going for it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a pretty big thing to have, though. Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
Damn it.
Show starts, as Raw would just seemingly always start.
But first, we get the worst WWF theme.
No,
ever.
No, it's not. It's my life in a box. It's made of cheese.
No, I hate it. The generic guitar riff that they have, playing while the fireworks are going, is better than Thorn and Rhyme. That's a great guitar riff. and a better theme.
I have this weird thing about, like, a lot of themes from this time period. So, like, Thorn in Your Eyes, one, the that original SmackDown theme that is... When you win, that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know how, like, supposedly Picasso could paint anything except for faces, and that's why his paintings looked like that? Like, that was the blind spot in his skill and ability, right? Mm. I feel like Jim Johnston kind of had a blind spot when it came to lyrics. Like, he could come up with these fucking basic-ass riffs, slightly alter them, mm-hmm. and make it a completely new song for a completely new character. But if you wanted words, no. File not fucking found.
Better than Def Rebel.
Yeah, that's actually true. This, okay, so I wrote down, I do not remember this episode, but I guarantee you that I was locked the fuck in on this show. So this was a really cool throwback for me. This is the day after that awesome fucking street fight with Triple H and Foley.
Yeah.
God damn, that is a hell of a match. He's kind of beat up. And then I also remembered we've done a SmackDown from this week.
Yeah, because there's a big show, John, going on.
Yeah.
We've seen some parts of... Anyway, Triple H comes out with Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a microphone. What other way are we going to open Raw?
For the next 14 fucking years. Like, it's...
This note is a little bit later, but I'll... No, it's early enough. I can say it now. The future Raw openings are so formulaic that it makes this one, in hindsight, more formulaic than it was at the time. They hammered the Raw opening format so hard that it made past promos age badly.
Yeah. It's crazy to me that they have not mixed up this fucking format yet.
Yeah.
Dude, Triple H evolved, I wrote this down, he evolved to a certain point and then stopped.
Yeah.
And this promo, it is long, it is just an exposition dump disguised as a promo, which is another fucking recurring theme on this show.
Because Stephanie does all the exposition at the beginning. She gets the whole point of the promo right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Passes the mic to Triple H for him to add nothing and take a longer time doing it.
Like, it's the wording is really clumsy. He says something about going to that hospital in New York City, so I had to write down there's only one hospital in New York City. That seems fucking crazy. There's a lot of people. Like, they referenced that Mania is 10 weeks from here.
Hmm.
That is a long fucking time for a build, and there is a pay-per-view in between. I do believe they still got No Way Out at this point. But 2000
already? Really?
I think so.
I think you're right.
But, yeah.
That's crazy.
So that promo's going on, and then, well, it's the big show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I did write down, well, it's the big show.
Vault in, by the way. Did you catch that? He walks up the steps and vaults in over the top rope.
He'd be doing that. Badass. I just thought it looked weird in the video games. Turns out, he'd be doing that. at one point, Stephanie McMahon says that... And I know she's trying to say, and there's part of me that kind of likes it, but it just kind of doesn't work for me. It's clumsy, and I might be nitpicking, but I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I was nitpicking. She says that Triple H sunk to Cactus's level and rose to the occasion.
Okay.
There's part of their...
You're aiming for some sort of wordplay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Or it's just clumsy. Dude, there's this weird thing to me that I noticed with this promo, where I was like, Triple H just never was a promo guy.
Yeah.
Like, he got better than this. This is, I would argue, not very good at all. He got better than this, But then I was like, I don't remember ever seeing a Triple H promo where I was like, man, that gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like, fuck, man, I feel that. You know what I mean? Like,
Media Scrum Triple H is probably my favorite. No. Okay, so Big Show comes out because he thinks he won the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Fucking Big Show seemingly has to go to the champion, who's not the booker.
Right.
To ask for a match against The Rock, who's not the champion. But only if he can prove that The Rock lost the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
That's what I gleaned from this. And
I...
Why are these people talking to each other? Like...
Dude, so part of this is we're in Full Tilt McMahon-Helmsley regime, where the idea is, okay, Triple H married the boss's daughter, and because evidently the World Wrestling Federation works like some sort of feudal system back in the Middle Ages, that gives him power in the company, right? So he's... In essence, this is like the prototype run for the authority. Now, a better question is, why would the Big Show do any of the things you just said?
Yeah, I don't know.
I vaguely remembered this. I was like, this would have been like...
Why is he not talking to Vince McMahon?
Why is he not just saying, I won, give me my title match? Why is he willing to make any concessions here?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's making the... If Triple H had been like, I'm not going to give you a match, but if you beat The Rock...
Sure.
...or something in a one-on-one tonight, right. That would make so much more sense.
Why not? But instead, it's everything but that, and also...
Oh my god, and then you have Big Show beat the fucking Rock, even if it's by shenanigans.
Right.
He fucking faces him at No Way Out.
Yeah.
Triple H wins,
yeah.
Even if it's by shenanigans... And then he loses to The Rock at Mania. If I'm
everything booking. You just said is so much better than what actually happens.
What the fuck are we doing?
No, we run back. Dude, we may have to do No Way Out 2000.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it.
I have not either, but I just remembered the main event. So I know for a fact that the very logical and solid idea you just laid out, it don't happen at all. Mm. Okay. On top of all of that, like, I'm pretty positive that this was a pivot because they actually did blow the finish of the Rumble. Supposedly, that them landing at the same time or Big Show landing first, it was supposed to just be The Rock won. And The Rock landed first. That's what it was. Mm. So then they tried to, like, shoot. They never showed the shot from the actual side of the entrance. And then they had to weave all this in because basically that entire side of the building saw the wrong guy win.
I made it better, I think. Or maybe a little bit more interesting. Maybe more fun. Who knows? So you add some layers to the story, some specificities. Mm-hmm. So you have The Rock versus Big Show on Raw tonight to see if see if Big Show gets his title shot because he thinks he won the Rumble.
Right.
Triple H interferes on behalf of the Big Show and helps him win. Okay? So Big Show gets his title shot at whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock... Maybe this doesn't work out the way that I... Now that I'm wording it out. But The Rock interferes in the match at No Way Out, and then it becomes a triple threat at Mania. It's basically
even
where
that
I was
would
going.
Be better than what
it's
actually
basically
happens.
Where I was going. I don't know if it worked out the way I had it in my mind, but... I don't want to take up all the time fantasy booking.
Something from 25 yeah. years ago. So The Rock, I wrote down, The Rock is here. I bet this will be deep.
Yeah.
Dude, we've been very critical of The Rock's promos on this show. I usually try to like say, you know, when it's a good one, I treat it like a Michael Bay movie where I'm like, yeah, and then as soon as I'm out of the theater, I'm like, fuck, man, that was trash. What happened to me there? I lost myself. This was not one of them. This was, not only do they, like, creatively not know where they're going, I don't think the guys in this segment know, it's like all three of them are trying to just say things to book what they want to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's probably, yeah.
This shit from The Rock here is so sincerely bad, and then somehow... Big Show aligns with Triple H mid-promo.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a heel turn. Because he was already a heel. But I want to count it as one because he's had so many.
It's a double down.
I do have a small tirade about one specific thing in this Rock promo.
Okay.
He straight the fuck up says, Big Show, you're out here whining and crying about who actually won the Royal Rumble. It doesn't matter who won the Rumble. And I said, it does. It actually fucking does. That's the whole reason for the thing. Does. It was a day ago, Dwayne. It was last fucking night.
Yeah. Yeah.
You cut promos about how it was the thing, you dumb bitch. Like, God damn it.
You said you were going to throw everyone one by one.
Fuck! Like, if that's the case, then just say, LOL, you win.
Yeah.
Go for it. Like, damn it.
I know you won the Rumble, but it doesn't matter who won the Rumble. I'm getting the title shot at WrestleMania.
That's like, basically what? It. Like, Lord Almighty.
So, I wrote down a thing, then I realized what timeline we were in.
Yeah.
Because we're building to a tag match in the main event.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Or maybe a handicapped, right.
Oh, yeah, that too.
So, I wrote down, if this company were worth anything, Stone Cold would be Rock's partner. I forgot. Rikishi did that thing.
Oh, yeah.
For the Rock at this point. So then I was like, wait a minute. Later on in the episode, I was like, dude, Mankind should totally be
Rock's partner. Yeah.
But they, cause, and then I'm like, oh, dude, it so is Mankind. Cause they're like, oh, he's not here. He's not here. He's not here. He's not here. The Rock doesn't have a partner. We'll get there. But what I'm saying is, it should be Mankind.
Now, I want to stay on that here with me for just a second here, because I keep saying, oh wow, what you have posited is better than what they end up doing or whatever, right? So you just posited a tag team matchup that would feature Triple H, The Big Show,
yeah,
The Rock,
yeah,
and Mankind.
Mm-hmm.
The main event of WrestleMania 2000 is those four men in a fatal four-way match.
Holy shit, I'm doing shit I didn't even realize.
What? Like, dude, it's absolutely fucking baffling. Also, I heard this funny thing about Rikishi recently. It was like a clip from some old show where dude just goes, Rikishi was a really big, dancing, fun-loving dude. Except for that one time he tried to fucking kill Steve Austin with a car! but, okay, so I wrote down, referencing Jurassic Park here, because this is how I wrote this in my mind. Now, you do plan to have wrestling on your wrestling show? Yes, right? I could not believe how long this went.
Did you timestamp it?
No, but I desperately wish I had. But then, on top of that, it's a hard cut to another promo that's backstage with the Hollies.
Yeah.
There's still not been a match. The speed of this promo, though.
Yeah.
Because the Hollies speak, fall out with each other, Jericho gets involved with his awesome gear.
Well, Holly, it's Hardcore Holly in China first.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're outside of the women's locker room.
Yeah.
Crash says, you won't do it. Bob says, yeah, I will. Goes into the locker room. China comes out. They start to brawl. Then Jericho.
Yeah.
This all happens in 45 seconds or less.
Yeah. Then Jericho gets hauled off.
Yes.
And Hardcore Holly punches Crash for no reason or something.
Yes.
And then, yeah.
Then we go to another backstage promo.
Al Snow thinks Steve Blackman is boring.
Yes.
Enough.
The Birth of Head Cheese.
Yeah. At Birth of Head Cheese is an awful phrase.
At this point I wrote down, holy shit, a match is about to break out. Because finally,
I'm going to look up... Okay, I'm going to pull up the episode on my Tribune here, and I'm going to look at the timestamp of when this motherfucking shit starts wrestle.
Okay. Our opening contest, finally. Edge and Christian versus everyone's favorite, Al, I'm dressed like a fucking young boy Snow, and Steve, I'm just Steve, Blackman.
He is the walking weapon, Blackman.
Dude, this actually was pretty fucking cool. Like, this was fast, I liked this.
Yeah.
Christian hits that weird little, I always called it the Jimmy Jump cross body thing where he does like a triangle attack, goes over the top rope to the outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this was good. This was fun. I then wrote down, there's an unbelievable stair spot. Holy shit. And now I can't for the life of me remember what it was. Oh, I do remember. Steve Blackman is on the apron. He has Christian up, like, in a gut wrench, like he's going to do a gut wrench suplex to nothing. And then he hops off the apron and holds on to Christian, and Christian just goes face first into the steps on the way down. Jesus. They replay it. It's the craziest fucking shit. So, the finish to this, though, they do this awesome double team. It's the kiss of death thing. It's a fucking... backbreaker, I hold you over the knee, the partner does something, but it's a top rope leg drop from Al Snow to Edge. And they do this thing where they call it, they just stop the match. It's like he's shoot knocked out.
Oh, yeah.
This weird gimmick here for Edge, by the way, that he is just up to his eyebrows in bitches. Like, they... hype it on the way to the ring that, like, oh my god, all these women are just throwing themselves at Edge. He's engaged to Val Venus's sister, which I believe was a shoot. And then they're doing this gimmick with him on TV. It's all really fucking... I don't know. Oh, so then...
Why does it keep skipping?
So Edge is unconscious, right? Because he gets work shoot knocked out. They stop the match. EMT BB, which at this point I had to write down, hey, BB! Wow. She comes down to the ring. She does mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on Edge. Brings him back to life. So then I wrote down, this guy's getting hosed while he's unconscious. He can't be stopped.
I think it's somewhere at the, like, 22-minute mark is when the bell is ringing.
Okay.
Al Snow's coming out at, like, 22 minutes, maybe. Some 23 minutes, maybe. Egregiously late, basically.
So we'll call it 22 minutes in.
Yeah, but for some reason it's not. It doesn't show me when it. You know what I mean?
Okay, we'll call it 22. Would you want to wager even is the opening contest between 3 and 4 minutes long, or between 4 and 5 minutes long?
3 and 4.
That is correct. It is 3 minutes and 34 seconds long, and it goes to a work shoot knockout finish.
I hated that, by the way.
And then the Hollies broke up. Again, I think.
I thought that was the end of that other promo.
No, they cut back to these. That one stops, this match happens, and then they cut back to this other one where it's just the Hollies walking backstage, and Bob Holly says, Crash, keep up. And then they get into a fight again.
I missed that one.
Dude, it's insane because Bob Holly and Crash, I wrote down, they break up with each other even though they are walking the same speed. Like, when they're in the shot, walking to nowhere, by the way. They don't say or do anything. Bob just goes, Crash, keep up. Crash is carrying the scale, and he's still going the same speed. They argue, they fight. Bob leaves.
Wow.
Yeah. I loved it. There was... Oh. Next match.
Oh, yeah. So it was Hardcore Holly versus Jericho. I'm pretty sure Lillian Garcia messes up the Holly because he's announced at over 400 pounds. And I know that Hardcore Holly was not doing that bit.
Because she does it too. Yeah.
She does it for Crash later. But anyway... I wrote my first note actually is I bet this match doesn't go for a go to a finish. I was pleasantly surprised.
Same. I wrote down Bob is God.
He's in great shape here.
Oh my God, he looks amazing. This is a young prime Jericho. Like, the hair's good, the beard's good. I loved this gear. Like it, I don't know what it is, but it's just fun.
My name?
Fucking Bob Holly is also. They are stiffing the piss out of each other in this match on a couple of occasions.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
There's one small exchange in a corner where I'm like, it looks like Jericho is trying to actually do the Judas effect decades before that was a thing, because he is just throwing this gnarly back elbow at Bob Holly, who's just beating the piss out of him. Dude, this is also then overbooked as fuck.
Yeah.
So, China, behind the ref's back, low blows Bob Holly and gives him a pedigree onto a fucking chair. And then Jericho hits the lion salt. Yeah.
If I'm going to lay down for three, I need to be protected.
I had the same thought. I was like, why are we doing all of this just to put down Bob? I think he took the pin in the match the night prior, too.
Yeah. Yeah, because she says, or JR says this is the second time that China has caused him to lose the thing or whatever.
There's a backstage promo after this between the Hardys and the Dudleys.
Bubba Ray has some explaining to do about this accent he's got halfway going on here. Did you catch that?
Dude, I had forgotten that they were still trying to do the, like, the Dudleys thing. And then they just weren't. And he was like, it was like he couldn't remember if he was doing the bit or not. Because some of the times it's very Southern.
Yeah.
Cartoon
he was like,
sheriff.
He sounded like, I was like, is he doing some like weird thing? And then he said, but tonight? And I went, what?
It's like he couldn't remember, or he forgot that he wasn't doing the stuttering gimmick anymore, but he wanted to keep the voice.
It's so, I don't like it. It's weird.
This was a good promo. It was just kind of odd, I thought.
Yeah.
But
it does set up very well the thing that comes later.
It does,
There's an early don't try this at home, and it is an attitude era tradition that it is not as good as the one. It's just Michael Cole being like, they sacrificed their lives in here in the WWF, so don't do this shit, you moron.
Their lives.
Yeah.
Don't do this shit, you moron.
It's something like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's pretty close to the actual wording. Too Cool versus everyone's favorite tag team of Crash Holly and Viscera. This was when I remembered we had done the SmackDown that follows this episode of Raw. Mm. Because there's a recap that recaps this entire story arc that they do on this episode of Raw. The Hollies have been together and fallen out twice tonight. Bob has lost. Crash is only now about to compete.
Also,
Holly Mania.
For a man who doesn't like tag team wrestling, he sure as hell got a lot of tag team storylines going on right now.
What's that?
This.
Oh, just in general?
And the fucking one that we'll see later for the tag belts.
Yeah.
Like,
this was a pretty good era for tag wrestling.
It
just in the sense that there were tag teams.
You could just do tag wrestling, my guys.
Yeah.
You could just not let the Motor City Machine Guns go.
You could just not let the New Day go. You could. There are so many tag teams on this show alone, and they're all over.
Yeah.
Too Cool is unbelievably over here, and they have not yet reached the height of their powers.
Yeah.
I view the tipping point for them is when Scotty started doing the W-O-R-M on the hop. Because there's like, oh man, these guys are fun and they're getting really over. And then he starts doing that, and then it's just nuclear every time.
Yeah.
I liked what they were trying to do in this match, and they are just all moving all the time.
Yeah. That's kind of the Attitude Era style, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a pretty bad botch in this from Crash Holly, and I felt really bad.
I thought he did it on purpose.
If he did, then that's brilliant. It seemed
really intentional.
The only thing that would make me think it wasn't is just because at that time, the idea of working a botch wasn't, like...
Yeah.
Like, it had been done. It seemed really been done, controlled, but like,
and, like, he sold it for a long time, and then, like, didn't roll out of the ring.
That's true.
Well, also, he was tagged in, but the way that Viscera sold it, too, made me feel like he was like, what the fuck are you doing, man? You're supposed to be...
Okay.
I don't know. That's how it felt to me.
Maybe it was. If that's the case, then kudos, because I bought it. I just thought he was going to do, like...
If not, even better, to
either
be
way,
honestly.
Either way, it's either a great cover or it's just a
or
great
it just
idea.
Works. It's really jarring to hear JR say... Grandmaster Sex A. He literally put a glottal in there. He separated it. Sex A.
There's a bunch of shit in this. Somebody hits a spiral bomb at one point. I wrote down there's a prototype worm. And then for some reason... Oh, wait. Does this just go to a DQ?
Probably. A lot of them do.
No, because I don't think
it
does.
No, Crash and Viscera just beat them.
That's right. Because I wrote down, for some reason, I think my last note on the match just says, what the fuck even, man? I don't know why. I don't know.
Coach is at WWF New York?
Yes. It looks like he's about to be eaten alive by cannibals. Yeah. Like, there's no security, there's no nothing. Yeah. Like, these people are mobbing him.
It looks like... The footage looks like news footage that would be shown in a Blair Witch movie. I don't know why it feels like that. You know what I mean? It's just weird.
Because the lighting on it, he's kind of washed out. His eyes are big, and there's just hands and arms everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a Kane and X-Pac music video.
Yeah.
Not bad. Of its time, and... I'll say this. I do remember that storyline being fucking hot.
Yeah.
I'm sure they burned through it.
I thought it was a good video package.
Lightning speed, but...
Well, everything at this time went lightning speed.
At this point, nostalgia hit me very hard because I wrote down, fuck, man, this was the most I ever loved this.
I love that. So, Kane is coming out, and I had a realization, like, he's kind of still in the original fit in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I didn't realize that he made it a good 3 years before they showed his mouth and ruined everything.
Yeah, I think that's late 01 is when they start fucking around with it. And then he starts getting into that, like, flame mesh top. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, to me...
But he was also big as a fucking house at that point, so you kind of just let it go.
He had the full mask at one point. There's a brief crossover period where he had the full mask.
Yes.
It was like the mostly black one with like the really dark red stripes. And just the singlet top. I was like, ooh. So he doesn't have like the full sleeve. It's just like the regular with like the... That's a good look.
Yeah.
But then he takes the mouth away. Okay, I'm still on board. I'm still on board. Okay.
Yeah.
He can smile for promo pics, which is a little jarring, but... I'm still on board. It's fine. And then once he goes to, like, the singlet with the, like, just the red, like, ambulance
tape.
Straps
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out, man.
Yeah, that's fair. I did you ever see the one that he did that was mostly, like, it was the full jumpsuit, like, when he first came in.
Yeah.
But it was all black.
Yeah.
That was fucking cool.
I have a figure of that, believe that.
No way. You? What?
Yeah.
Speaking of, Kane. So it's him versus X-Pac. I wrote down, this is an incredible version of Kane. Like, this was a prime for him. Like, the character hadn't been completely diluted yet.
his work hadn't been completely diluted yet. No. I had this real weird epiphany that when he took the fucking mask away, he became immediately clunky and awkward.
Yeah.
His, like, his in-ring actual physical work was better during when he had the mask. He was moving so good here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I just look at him and fucking Shane McMahon at Survivor Series 03, I think.
Dude, I... Yeah.
Yeah.
I literally wrote down the speed of these guys. Like, this is fast.
Lawler has a fucking bomb when Kane is coming out here.
Yeah.
Did you catch that? He calls them... It's one of the ones them phrases they would throw around.
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah.
It Big Red and it rhymes with guitar.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Crazy. And I was he like, just proudly
I
says
was like,
it.
Oh, man. The times, they have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did actually write something down about that. There's a cameraman bump in here that I actually, like, that's one of those things that, like, just used to happen very rarely. And it's so funny because I love it. It helps me remember that what I'm seeing is actually happening somewhere.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know the last time I saw a fucking cameraman that wasn't Stu.
Right. They certain, like...
They hide him.
Yeah, they hide
him. Shoot him.
This shit never happens. Nobody ever actually bump, like...
I love when you have the great Kali walking down the ramp and you got the fucking big guy, the dude in front of him, and then, like, you see his, like... And then they cut to hard cam as he gets, like, right close to the ring, and you can see that the guy's standing there with the camera. It's a real thing!
Dude, one thing I do love about the Attitude Era was seeing photographers around ringside.
Hmm.
Like, I loved that you could see, like, at times there'd be, like, a row of guys on, like, this one side of a ring, or you'd, like, see them behind, like, in the corners of the barricades when guys would make their entrances and shit. Why not? I want this to feel like it's an event.
I love... Ah, oh, man. There was a glimpse of that when Triple H took over.
Yeah.
And then, no.
Let me try that again. I've had this discussion recently about who was, like, the best booker. Because bookers go through their highs and lows, right? So, like, you can't really say this guy is. Because that guy is going to have his creative peaks when everything's on fire and their fucking valleys, right? Triple H in about 2023 was pretty cooking, though.
Yeah.
Like, Bloodline shit was really over.
It was... Like,
because he took over, then Vince came back for a hot second, and then
2022 into 2023, because it was Mania when Vince came back. It was Mania 39.
Yeah,
when Vince came back, and then
right,
you know. So, but I remember it was like a good 8 month period, because we've talked about it many a time on the podcast of how just what a, it just seemed like there was so much hope for the wrestling industry.
Yeah,
on both sides.
Yeah,
I don't know. And then they sold it to TKO, and we lost the industry.
I'd argue there was a point where Gabe Sapolsky was one of the best bookers. That, like, prime ROH run, like, doing what he did with what he had was pretty fucking commendable. Even though he had, like, as far as roster goes, I mean, a murderer's row, don't get me wrong, but I mean, like, in the, like, the presentation, the style, the booking, the actual...
I'd like to think that I'm the best booker.
So, this match, I wrote down, this match ends via sexual assault. So it's Kane and X-Pac.
Oh, yeah, and we're
doing stuff, and then it's pretty awesome. And then, X-Pac just grabs Tori in the middle of the ring and starts making out with her.
Yeah.
And then the match just kind of, like, stops.
Yeah, I had to go back because I was like, did I miss when the match ended previous? No.
No.
Because it doesn't end until... So, Kane goes to tend to Tori.
Yes.
And X-Pac leaves the ring.
Yeah.
And he leaves on the side of the entranceway. So I'm like, is he just fucking leaving?
I think so, yeah.
But then he goes to grab a chair and then hits Kane, and then the match is thrown out by a DQ.
That's what it was,
I bet there's more of those than actual finishes on this fucking show tonight.
You're probably correct. That match, was it more than 3 minutes or less than 3 minutes?
It was less than 3 minutes.
It was. 2:54 was the time.
Wow. I didn't even think it was that close.
They be moving, and then they don't.
Yeah.
Speaking of moving, and then they don't, the New Age Outlaws versus the Hardys.
And in one of the entrances, there's a shot of the USA Network sign. It's a light-up sign.
Yeah.
But the kickstand of the R and the K are completely not lit up. So it literally just says USA NetSop, or NetWop. And it's just, it popped me.
I wrote down, man, I wish it happened. I wish it would happen again, but I wrote down, you cannot deny a very over sing-along promo.
All right, I'm glad you said that, because my paragraph reads as such.
You can deny a very over paragraph.
God, Road Dogg sucks at every aspect of pro wrestling. He couldn't deliver someone else's promo well. These mouth-breathing Attitude Era fans ate this slop up. The PG mouth-breathers ate Enzo and Cass up. Sing-songy repeat promos suck, and I hate them.
I disagree. Like, yeah, this was slop, and yeah, I did eat it up. But the Enzo and Cass thing, like, to me, that's over. Like, you're in the building. You're like, it doesn't always translate maybe to TV unless it's like mad. But like,
it's good.
The Enzo thing when the crowd did it with no mic, that bit, you've seen this, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think it's fucking cool. I think that's worth. That's part of the price of the fucking ticket you buy. But
doesn't mean it's good though.
Fair.
But it's always good to be over.
That's right. So Terry's here. The Dudleys are here. Everyone's here.
Everyone's here. Yeah, so this is such a video game style run-in because the camera just cuts to Bubba and Devon halfway down the ramp.
Yeah.
Just walking.
Yeah.
They're just coming out. And I ended up actually really liking this.
I thought this was pretty fucking great.
Because they harp on it, they show them sitting on the table, and then they don't talk about it the rest of the time.
Yep.
And I forgot.
So did I. Billy Gunn does a jackhammer at some point, which I remember when I would first see shit like that as a kid, and I didn't know how wrestling worked, right?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that you could do that.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I would be like, that's Goldberg's move.
Yeah, he is capable of doing that.
Yeah, and then it further confused me because I was like, well, he wins with it. Because Bill Gunn would just do it. Like, it was just something he'd do in the heat. And I was like, it really, as a child, I was like, I don't understand.
Also, I was like, take the fucking shirt off, Bill. You're on national television. Holy and you're next Christ. To Road Dogg.
Right? An amazing false finish.
Yeah.
The whole match builds to it, and it builds to it so well, to your point. Like, they go away from the Dudleys so long that I forgot they were there.
Yeah.
I honest to God bit on this. I loved it.
Because the finish was so set up so matter-of-factly.
Yes.
I was like, oh, there's not going to be a breakup or a DQ thing. Like, how refreshing it. Oh, shit. I forgot the Dudleys were on the outside.
Damn it!
My full reaction.
Lawler did have a line in this that I did laugh at in regards to Terry, where he just she had an amazing swimsuit. I tried to talk her out of it.
Yeah.
That's a good joke. Fucking. So, hang on. At this point in my viewing experience, I'm really high and I'm happy. So they do a beatdown angle after this or whatever, match ends, who cares what. Who gives a shit? But fucking, no. Devon goes like he's going to punch Terry Runnels in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Bubba Dudley stops him, and this is an early version of that Bloodline Cinema bullshit. Because he's right there on the camera, the microphone's getting it, everything.
Oh, yeah.
He says, and now he doesn't have that accent that he had earlier. He's got a different accent
now.
Well,
he's just using his actual voice, I think.
Why would you punch her in the face? Like, when you could...
When we can put her through a table.
Through a table. Like, and then, so they set it up. They do the super bomb. It is the nicest... These were all always the nicest bumps.
I thought this looked like it hurt so much more than if he had just laid her fucking flat.
I thought it looked like I would have rather gone actually through the table.
Yeah. Velva takes it entirely on his own ass.
Yeah.
And then holds her the whole time until he, like, jostles. She fucking doesn't take a flat bump, so she's getting shook and all... Like, just fucking put her through the fucking table.
I'm not positive. I wonder if this was the first time they'd done it.
It has to be. The way it's set up...
Because it ends up going places. Like, they keep... Like, the first tables match is the night prior.
Right.
So, like, we know this becomes a thing. Because I wrote down, oh, man, he's doing the face Bubba just made come. He made thick in the warm.
Stop. What is that? That's horrible.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Why did you acknowledge how horrible it is and you said it with unapologetically?
Yeah, I like bad things sometimes.
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 No, but yeah. I guess that was the first time he put a woman through a table.
Stretcher job and everything.
That's a sentence I never thought I would say. That's the first time he put a woman through a table.
You're right. And we're not talking about someone that's like in prison or anything.
Yeah.
Yet.
Should be.
Yeah, probably. Killed ROH. Yeah, they do a full-on stretcher job for Terry here.
In the midst of this stretcher job,
oh
Kurt
my
Angle
God.
Comes out and cuts a promo. Kurt Angle is awesome.
Oh my God.
From the jump.
Like, this was... This happening during the stretcher job, and him... This was everything. This was... Oh, I loved... I was like, I want to go back and watch more of the first year Angle. Like, just...
If you're gonna... Yeah. You can... Because, but I want it. If you don't...
No, I'm good.
Because if you're... Okay.
Proceed. He references the thing, this fucking... He has documents from a doctor about him getting choked out by Taz.
By an illegal maneuver.
Right. I wrote down, oh man, shit. Last night we were in New York, his hometown. Tonight we are in Philly. Taz, and I wrote down, Taz should be presented huge here.
Yeah. That explains the EC dub chance that we got.
Oh, big time. Huge EC dub chance. And then, yeah, they don't, like, do a whole lot, and Taz comes out and just kind of chokes him out again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, this was one where I kind of wanted a little more.
Yeah.
Like, I...
Throw him a couple times.
Yeah, throw him a couple times. Have Angle try to fight back, and you reverse something, and then you fucking choke him out. Like...
Yeah, what if, like, Angle had... Well, maybe... Don't let him get the hold immediately. Maybe he's trying for it. Angle blocks it. Oh, shit. You know? And then he gets, like, Angle gets one German. Woo, I'm a better wrestler. Taz pops up.
Taz
throws
up.
Him a couple times.
Yeah.
Kata Hajime.
Right.
And
in
we
Philly,
go home.
Like, and then guess what? Now you've got footage of him doing something and people losing their shit because that crowd would have lost their minds.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was fine to me. It was a little... I just wanted more.
Yeah. I agree.
There's an ad for the TV Guide covers with wrestlers on them telling you to vote.
I was like, TV Guide ad? We used to be a country.
They used to just tell you to vote.
Yeah, that too.
There wasn't any clear bias from the fucking entertainment company.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable. Also, I love that TV Guide, getting the cover of TV Guide was such a fucking big deal just because of how unbelievably distributed it. You know what I mean? Like, the shit was just everywhere.
My next note is, yeah, sure, Rock's gonna be by himself.
Oh, right,
I
yes.
I said this about, because earlier I had a note, I completely forgot to say it, but earlier I had a note that said, Lawler, you basically just fucking told me that Cactus Jack is gonna be the Rock's partner. Which only makes that call piss me off more because
right?
he's not. We'll get there.
Everyone's favorite tag team, D'Lo Brown and The Godfather, versus everyone's favorite tag team, The Acolytes. I wrote down, this should rule.
Yeah.
It kind of did, but it didn't get to the point of, like, it didn't get out of that, like, second or third gear for me.
Yeah, unfortunately, they only know Irish whips.
Yeah.
Everyone in this match runs a marathon bell to bell.
I literally wrote down, there are no transitions.
Yeah.
It is just, I'm doing this move now.
Yeah.
You're doing that move now. Like,
I bet they didn't even call whip in the back. They were just
no!
Like, yeah, you know, I'll hit a boot and a body slam.
Yeah.
We just know that that's preceded by a whip.
Yeah. 20-foot ring. Like, I can't imagine.
Imagine running a marathon 20 foot at a time.
Oh, my God. The ass bumps on this show. I wrote this down because somebody takes a spine buster or something in this match that was ugly as shit. And I remember Grandmaster Sexay got, like, popped up by Viscera for something and just landed on his ass neck. Like,
ass neck.
They're all falling down like Berna.
Yeah.
I love the finish of this, though.
Oh, the finish was so simple but so good. Like, and D'Lo takes a hell of a bump.
Like, I... Blind tag, partner holds onto the ropes. Wait, what? Yeah. Lariat.
Yeah, from the...
opposite side.
Perpendicular,
yes,
direction. Perpendicular. Perfect. They hype up that they're crowning the winner of the swimsuit deal, and I was like, I feel like... I thought they did that. Didn't they crown a winner that night?
I literally wrote down, we're doing what now? Pants. I wrote down a word that I don't think is a word, and I don't know what it says.
Wah?
I don't know. Chef Boyardee. Commercial. Yes.
Oh, yeah. They hype overstuffed. You know the thing that always pissed me off about overstuffed?
No.
They tasted different.
Yeah?
Why doesn't it just taste the same with a fucking more meat? I feel like they were making a different blend of sauces or spices or meats, yeah, or something like that.
Weird.
It might be me being delusional, but I was always like, those don't taste as good to me, even though they're more.
You know what I think is, like, one of my earliest food snob behaviors? I can remember saying I didn't want to eat SpaghettiOs. I only wanted the SpaghettiOs that had the meatballs in them.
Wow.
No,
I get it, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. To the point where I was, like, a kid, and I was like, I will not eat that unless there's meatballs in there. It's the dumbest fucking shit.
And you will most assuredly have bites while eating
the same amount of SpaghettiOs, yeah, are entering my body. There's just, yeah, probably like 4 or 5 lumps of fucking wadded dog in there too. Yeah.
And you're most assuredly not getting a meatball every single bite.
Oh God, no.
So it's not about that you need the meat to enjoy the SpaghettiOs.
Right.
You just want them.
Yeah. Straight up, it's just
and
like,
it will not be denied.
Yeah. I'm a child. Everything is provided for me, and I'm like, no, this is trash. Get it away from me. I deserve better. I deserve a meatball. So I then wrote down, what is happening? So they bring all the participants from the Miss Rumble 2000,
yeah,
back to the ring. And I wrote down, wait, what the fuck? Why wait to crown the winner? Which I thought they had done the night prior. Like, the cat had the fucking whatever. So then, Mae Young says something about how her tits are real, which then starts what, God, I wrote down as boob job drama.
Everyone is fighting over, and I can't stress this enough, quote, who's got the real puppies?
Spoiler, none of them. But, like, I wrote down, wow, that was awful. And then I just wrote down again, wow. When I said earlier about how much of the show nothing happens,
yeah,
what was any of this?
This was a show for people who didn't go to the Rumble. That is all it is.
You're not
go
far
to
off.
Or buy the Rumble.
Like, because this segment didn't even It didn't even do the thing that it said it was going to do. Speaking of not doing things, Test versus Boss Man.
First of all...
Sorry.
I got a good look at this trophy at this point. Horrible.
Yeah?
It's a large trophy, and then the top of it is like a golden upper torso, like rather
a
large.
A golden bust? Like a bust. The front of a ship?
Well, the front of a woman with like...
No, I'm saying like on the...
Like tassels on the nipple.
Oh!
And no head on the thing.
So the front of a really cool ship.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
That's not even what this is. Because it was a bikini
contest. Bikini contest.
So the trophy should have a bikini.
Why are there tassels? Yes. Why would it not be in a bikini?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know what any of that is. It's not good.
My next note is The Rock definitely doesn't have a partner.
No,
he does not.
Then
it is, this is a test.
Yes.
For Boss Man.
They show a brief video of Draws.
Yeah, that was really upset.
Yeah, I was like, damn, I don't remember them doing that for it.
Yeah.
It's
cool.
Yeah,
but...
did you know that the company actually, like, kept him, like, on salary or whatnot and paid his shit for, like, ever?
Good.
Which is good and the right fucking thing.
Yeah.
But just not what I would have ever expected.
Yeah.
So, this match starts... They don't... do a whole lot because it's so quick.
Yeah.
And then Stevie Richards dressed as Test runs in. It's a DQ.
That sounds AI generated.
Stevie Richards dressed as Test runs in?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the actual reality of the situation.
Oh, I watched it. That is what happened.
Did you also watch Test pump handle slam the fucking Christ out of all
he
of Stevie Richards?
He puts him through the fucking mat.
I didn't think that you could do that move with a snap.
Yeah.
golly, man. Smokes him on it. And then does a top rope elbow drop while holding the nightstick, which I wrote down as top rope stick drop. The man is dead.
Yeah. Yeah, because they start playing his music because they think he's leaving, and then he goes up to the top rope while his music is playing, and then it's an elbow drop, and I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
I love that he's so mad that Stevie Richards ruined his match with the Big Boss Man. I feel like every time we cover shit from the Attitude Era, Test is fighting the Big Boss Man.
Yeah.
Boss Man's on the show. I don't think that you could watch... I don't think we've ever done... any wrestling from the 1990s, regardless of company, that didn't have the Boss Man on it.
Yeah.
He jumped back and forth between shows week to week. Let's see. Michael Cole, I wrote down, he's at a medical facility or something. I don't fucking know. Hey, Braden, so it's main event time for the main event, so we got the team of the Triple H and the Big Show. You know, the champion... And the guy who says that he's the number one contender, and he can prove it, rather than just, like, I don't know, win matches against The Rock and his partner, Nobody.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Rikishi comes out. And
what the fuck?
How anticlimactic.
Why?
They didn't even try to make it a little bit dramatic.
Can I got a small gripe for you. The staggering of the entrances on this irritated me.
Mm.
Because it was The Rock by himself, then the two heels separately, and then the big surprise partner thing. Now, this is just me. Partners enter together, even if one of them's a fucking mystery. So why not have the heels out? Then The Rock. Then...
I think they were trying to sell it that Rock was just genuinely going alone. And he didn't know Rikishi was going to come out.
You might be right, yeah.
But it just was so anticlimactic because the match hasn't even started.
Yeah,
and
no.
Like, it just... I don't know.
There is an episode of Raw that I really do want to cover where the Radicals debut and the main event is a 10-man tag. And I remember watching it live and... Like, I remember jumping on my couch. Like, I was so in the moment. Like, I could not believe how good the show was, right?
Mm.
And watching this, it felt like a test run for that. Because of, like, Rikishi being involved and they're implying, like, The Rock family ties and shit. Like, but then this match just doesn't really happen.
Yeah. There's a very terrifying Samoan drop.
Holy shit, there is.
That's about the only note I have before it ends in DQ, out of nowhere.
I think two of the matches on this show had a finish. Because I know Bradshaw pinned D'Lo.
Yeah.
And I don't remember anybody else. No, Jericho pinned Bob Holly after the interference. But yeah, I'm pretty sure everything else went to a fucking meh.
I think so. I think you're right. Because the New Age Outlaws come out and attack Rikishi for no reason.
Oh, yeah, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the thing, man. If they would have at least gone through the effort of making it look like... Road Dogg. If Road Dogg had come out announcer table side and the ref's like, hey, what are you doing here? And Bill Gunn comes out entrance ramp side and starts beating the fuck out of Rikishi. And then they somehow get caught that way. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yeah.
Make it seem like you're trying to help your teammate, not just fucking throw the match out.
Right.
Ugh.
There's a weird thing about, like, just people not giving a fuck about winning and losing. Like, I can't stand it. Also, I wrote that there's an awful Big Show shirt. I did not like whatever the fuck he was wearing here.
That was a fine shirt. It's just, like, why is he wearing it the whole time? It's not
that
gear.
Too. He does a power slam in this match?
Oh, yeah, and a fucking big one.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Big Show.
Got to. So Foley kind of comes out to, like, even the odds.
Yeah.
Now
he comes out here.
Yeah. You want to know my theory? I think that two things happened. One, I think that the finish for the Rumble thing got fucky. So they're already pivoting. And two, I think Foley was so thrashed from the street fight that he couldn't work the next night. Because Triple H does, right? But Foley took so much shit in that. And he doesn't work on this one. We did the SmackDown thing. He doesn't work on that one. I think the original plan was to still do a different setup, maybe, but still do that tag and have Rikishi be the one making the save. So you're elevating this guy because he's backing up these big stars. Mm-hmm. And because Mick was probably beat the fuck up, they just said, swap it. See what happens. This is me connecting dots that are not there. Or they just didn't know where the fuck they were going for Mania and just decided to throw this on.
It's probably some, a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I don't know. At one point after this all is said and done, because the faces take the ring.
Yeah, got to.
What the fuck? JR. God damn, I couldn't think of his name. JR says, the trap was set.
What
trap? By who? And who fell for it?
And to what end?
Yeah.
What has been captured?
Because the only thing that's happened is three faces who I think don't really talk to each other.
Right.
Have
also
thrown off some heels.
Canonically, why didn't Foley just team with The Rock? He's there.
That's what I mean. That's why I'm like, what the fuck, man? What the fuck?
Yeah, this was not... Yeah.
This episode of Raw was like if the Prestige told you the ending and that wasn't the case.
You know what I mean? Like, to me, I was just like, fuck, man. Like, we're just kind of in a holding pattern right now. And we're just coming off of this fucking pay-per-view. Like, to me, I was like, set up your fucking Mania event. You got 10 weeks. Fucking, we have the winner of the fucking Rumble, and we have the fucking heel champion. You have 10 weeks. Come on, man. And then I remembered, oh, dude, the main event for Mania 2000 doesn't even get set until the go-home Raw. They don't tell you the main event of Mania until the go-home Raw. which is crazy to me.
Dude, okay, so Bailey and I fantasy book 12 shows a season. I could not imagine putting 4 in between all of them.
Right.
I couldn't. So, to that point, I do realize how much harder it is.
Sure, yeah, it's unbelievably hard.
But still, they're not even fucking close to the direction they should be going.
Like, have some semblance of an idea.
Yeah.
Like, and also, this is just me being me, but like, we talk about it so many times. If you just do it correctly, a guy can lose a match.
Yeah.
Your whole fucking card doesn't have to go to DQs. Like,
God, man.
I feel like they, you know what I think it was? Somewhere along the lines, in like the late 20-teens, maybe, mid-20-teens, I feel like Vince McMahon just somehow accepted that, like, a flash pin or a schoolboy is just like a DQ, only it's not. It's a loss without a loss. Like, you know what I mean? Where it's like, well, we're doing the match, and, like, somebody wins, but you don't really win. Because, you know what I mean? They, like, bastardized an inside cradle. They made a roll-up mean nothing.
Yeah.
Which is so insane that they literally made it to where you can win a match and it doesn't matter with a wrestling move.
Yeah.
They make it to where you can just be the better wrestler and it doesn't matter.
They hammered home the point that in order to win, you have to... your opponent has to be, like, carried out.
Yeah.
If he's up and, like, you didn't win.
Like, one of the best things to me in a long time was when Xavier Woods just decided his finish was the roll-up. The inside cradle.
Yeah.
He just started winning. He called it, like, the backwoods or something. Like, you know what I mean? I was just like, what the fuck? Like, that's awesome. You're fit, like...
See, I like kind of like that as an idea. Like, if someone has mastered a pin, I think that that's a fun thing to do.
Bryan Danielson did it.
Yeah. If you don't do it all the fucking time with everyone. If one person... I just think that that's a neat idea.
I agree.
I thought that this episode was a mess overall.
It is a mess. I actually had fun watching it because it was short.
Yeah.
And it was just so jarringly different from what TV wrestling is now.
Yeah.
I will say, the show is paced in a way where you do really have to, like, watch.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, if you get up and walk into another room and get back with a snack and you're watching Raw now or Dynamite even, really, what did you miss? You could do that while watching this and miss several Crash Holly promos and maybe a match or two. Like, but yeah, it's good to throw it back. Just do you and me.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Good. Hardcore Holly. So, you know, I gotcha on that one.
Yes, you did. All right, let's wrap this bad boy up.
Yeah.
So we got a busy weekend ahead of us.
Oh, God.
We will be talking to y'all soon about SmackDown episodes, about Dreamwave recaps, about Uprising recaps, about After Dark recaps. Recaps on recaps on recaps on recaps.
Yeah. Recaps on recaps on breaking your kneecaps. Sorry, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, we're shutting it down now. What are we even doing?